Praise the Lord, the snow up here is kind of slick, so I have to be very, very careful. And then with the weather changing so drastically, being so cold. Anyway, actually, it's very, very warm up here. Are you warm enough, Phyllis?
No.
Are you? Are you kind of cold?
No, I'm good.
You feel all right?
I feel great.
Good. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This is real warm snow up here, so amen. Revelation. We are in the book of Revelation, lesson number 37. And this is our last lesson. The title of this lesson is the Alpha and Omega. And we are in the section 7, covering chapters 20 through 22, the accomplishment of God's will. Lesson 37, of course, covers quite a bit, Revelation 21 and 22, and we're about halfway through. So let's look at our memory verses, Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And we will go ahead and say them. You can look, well, first of all, who needs this lesson, by the way? Several folks. Yes, Sheila Finnis needs it. She's been gone and brought nice warm weather back with her. I don't know. Glenn, Sheila needs one. Anybody else? All right. I think Glenn's kind of thrown off from all the Christmas decorations. Clark thinks he's supposed to be in Florida during this time of year, so it's confusing to him. But we'll all get right on the right page and have a real good Christmas spirit. Amen? Amen. All right. We had Christmas music in here yesterday while folks were decorating. It was kind of funny. And so praise the Lord. Well, Vacation Bible School is right around the corner. Be in prayer. The shepherds this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and they will have a ball. They will love the Vacation Bible School for them. And we'll have usually about 50 shepherds come to Vacation Bible School. And it's always a lot of fun. As you saw last Sunday night, we got just a little bit of an idea. They get pretty excited about Bible school. All right, let's say our memory verse, Revelation 21, 6 and 7. We'll say the references, or the reference, then the verses, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And let's do it again. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. Father, thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. I pray that you'll make it profitable time for us. I thank you for the opportunity we have to open up the Bible and to learn from it. And so I pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us now into the truth of the Scripture and to make us different because of this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are clear back, like I say, about the middle. We are talking about Roman numeral 3, the faithful deity. Covering Revelation 22, 6 through 16. And we started off with verse 6 last week and talking about his promises. And boy, what a blessing that these sayings, the Bible said, are faithful and true. Thank God we have something and someone who is faithful. We can count on him. We can plan on it. We know it's going to happen. It's like him coming. You know, we can count on that. We can plan on that. We celebrate Christmas because he came, because the gift of God is eternal life and the greatest gift in all the world. I'm never ashamed to talk about gifts because God chose to describe his own son as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And, you know, we need to realize that as we think about the Christmas season in summer, we think about the Lord coming, but we realize what a miracle that coming was. Well, it's going to be a miracle when he comes again. And it takes a miracle. Praise the Lord. But God is a miracle-working God. And if he says it's happening, it's happening. And these sayings are faithful. You can count on them. They are true. When there's so much false out there, isn't it a blessing to open up the Word of God and know we have the truth? We have that which is true. And so his promises are faithful and true. They are sure. He said, I come. It is a sure thing. He's coming. It is a quick thing. We talked about the word quick, and I come quickly, and it describes not only how he's coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, but I think it also describes when he's coming, and that is he's coming soon. And if it was soon 2,000 years ago, it's got to be sooner today. And so the people, the early church, they were looking for him to come. So if they were looking for him to come, seems like, wow, we should be even more and more excited that he's coming. So we come to number four then under his promises, and that is his promises are a blessing. They are a blessing. And verse 7, the second part, it says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And the idea here of keep, that word keep, again, we use that often, and I always like to think about keepers of the jail. What are they? They're the guards. And God tells us we need to not only obey the sayings of this book, but guard them, protect them. We live in a day where the Word of God is under attack all the time, constantly under attack. It is up to us to stand guard. It is up to Berean Baptist Church to stand guard. To make sure the Word of God is never compromised, never changed, never altered in any way. It is up to us to obey, yes, but it's also up to us to guard. By the way, if we're going to guard the Word of God and guard the sayings of the Word of God, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense if we didn't obey it ourselves. Amen? Why would we be guarding it if we're not going to obey it ourselves? And so the word keep is such a great, great word to describe this. Again, it talks about the sayings. The word is logos. Talks about it's the words of God. We are not into this idea that, well, God's word, it just conveys the truth that God wants us. No, every word is inspired by God Almighty. Every word is breathed by God. The genealogies are breathed by God. I'm in my Bible reading. I'm in the Old Testament and just finished Leviticus. And, you know, some of that reading is tough reading. And some of that reading, you know, we don't know. You get into Numbers and you see all these names and you think, I don't know how important. Well, God breathed the words. So it is important. And so God's word, his sayings are important to us. And of course, it goes on, it says the prophecy of this book. That's the whole Bible, or that's the book of Revelation. Either way, throughout Scripture, we find out there are blessings for obeying and guarding God's word. Throughout the Bible, it tells us over and over again, there are blessings for obeying and guarding the Word of God. Look, if you will, at Psalm 1, and that's the most obvious passage to go to, the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Blessed, there's our word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, we could spend the whole time on verse 1 and say that's the average person today. The average person today is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. They are standing in the way of sinners, and they are sitting in the seat of the scornful. That is our world today. That is America today. Sad to say, this is exactly what what, you know, it's the opposite. And so, you know, Dale and I were praying this morning and talking this morning about God's hand of blessing on America. That's not guaranteed. That's not guaranteed. That for that to continue, we have no guarantee of that. And as we get farther and farther away from the words of God and walking in the counsel of the ungodly and standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful, we're going to get farther and farther away. As we do this, we're going to get away from the blessing of the Lord. Because in verse 2 it says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. That person's going to be blessed. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, if you're going to plant a tree, you want it to have water. Brother Clark, of course, he planted the little tree out here. What kind of tree is that, Clark?
Dogwood
tree. That'll be a beautiful tree. And he planted that little tree out there, and he had to water it. Now, he hadn't had to water it because it's getting plenty. God's watering it, plenty. But you know, you put a tree where there's no water, unless it's trees like these. These trees are doing real well without water. But he shall be like a tree. Boy, I want to be planted by the rivers of water. I want to grow. I want to flourish. I want God to do something with me. And it says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And I like this, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I like that personally, but I want that for Berean Baptist Church. We don't do all of this just to say we did it. Amen? We want it to prosper. We want something to happen in the lives of our shepherds this week. We don't want to just say, oh, look, we did this. We want God to do something. Amen? We want to have a children's vacation Bible school in 2 weeks, but we don't want to just say, oh, we had children's vacation Bible school. We want God to do something. We want lives to be touched. We want lives to be changed. We want God to bless what we do. And again, folks, if we get away from the Word of God, we're not guaranteed that blessing. We're not going to have that blessing. Back to the book of Revelation chapter 1, way back 3.5 years ago when we started. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. If the time was at hand then, how much more today? And so I think, how much more blessed could we be? Amen. I cannot think of a greater day as we contemplate the return of Christ. Could we be the generation of the rapture? That's an exciting thought. Now again, just vanishing, I don't know, I've never done it. Amen. I've tried to get parts of me to vanish. Amen. Sometimes it's tough. But to be that generation when Jesus comes in the rapture, wow, that's just an amazing thought. We like that thought. We maybe don't like some of the things that are going to be going on when that takes place, but praise the Lord. Anyway, so it's a blessing. Notice verse 14 of, wait a minute, let me get back to where I am here. Excuse me, I'm having some voice issues. Verse 14 of Revelation 22, the Bible says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Notice, blessed are they which do. We're not saved by doing, but we certainly are blessed by doing. Amen. And by the way, we only do because of what he did. Seriously, there's no reason to run buses. There's no reason to have a shepherd's ministry. There's no reason to go soul winning except for what he did in my life. If all we have is a social gathering, and we can be very social, amen, we can outfun anybody. We can eat, glory to God, and we can have a lot of fun. And vacation Bible school for some is a lot of fun. Anyway, but that's You know, the whole idea and what we're doing, the whole idea is we do because of what he did. We do these things because he saved us. He's given me eternal life. The Baileys all these years have been on a bus route years and years. A lot of people, you know, just they've retired from serving God. They've just said, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of doing this. And the Baileys just keep doing it because look at us. It's because of what he did for them years ago. And you know what? As you look at these little kids and you deal with the shepherds and you deal with people, if God will do that for me, he'd do that for them too. And what a blessing it is. So obviously his promises, they are a way that they bless us if we will read them and claim them and keep them. And then do what he says to do. And of course, his promises speak about reward. In verse 12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Reward based on work. Let me say that again. We've covered that several times when we talked about Revelation, talking about the letters to the churches. And talking about their works, we are not saved by our works. We cannot be saved by our works. It's an insult to God that we would ever think we could work our way to heaven when Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for our sins. But we have rewards based on our works. And the Bible is very clear about that being based on our work and not on our motives. You know, I've had people say, well, if your motive's not right, your motive has nothing to do with the judgment seat of Christ. Your motive, other than the fact that, okay, if your motives were wrong and whatever, and it burns up, if it's wood, hay, stubble, it's just burned up, that's fine, but it's not something you're punished for. It's just something you don't get a reward. Do the work. The work is what brings the reward. And Romans 14, verse 12, notice what it says. By the way, if somebody has a bad motive and someone gets saved, are they not saved? They are saved, even if you had a bad motive. And believe me, when you get to heaven and there's somebody saved because of something you did, again, I'm telling you, you ought to have the right motives. I'm also telling you that not one of us is perfect. You know, there might even be a tree up here that's been decorated because somebody wanted to get a pat on the back. I don't know. But you know what? If some little child comes and gets saved at Vacation Bible School and they come back the second night because it was really cool the first night, praise the Lord. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. All right, Romans 14, verse 12. It says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And by the way, it's to God. It's not to man. You say, you know, well, they think this and they, who cares? Forget about that. Be concerned with how God is checking things out. Now, the judgment seat of Christ, if you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, we have gone there several times. It's been a while since we talked about it, but we had to because of the letters to the churches. But in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment I believe Christians will go through during while the earth is going through the 7 years tribulation. There will be the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is a time of reward. Watch what it says. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, 1 Corinthians 3, and now we're at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, so we have Jesus as the foundation. That's our salvation. We've trusted Christ. We've been saved. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. That is a building material, okay? So we could be building on that foundation, our salvation. We could be using gold, silver, precious stones. But notice there are other materials we could use. Wood, hay, stubble. Now, fact of the matter is, every one of us has access to all these materials. Amen. Yeah, we have access to the gold, the silver, the precious stones. In Jesus Christ, we have access to that. We could use those materials in our life all the time. Unfortunately, we have an old toolbox. Unfortunately, we have an old store that we've gone to. And that's where the wood, the hay, and the stubble. And I'll be honest with you, since I've been saved, I've gone to that material box many times. I have built some things in my life on and used the wood, the hay, and the stubble. And those things, but by the way, the Apostle Paul knew where that store was too. The Apostle Paul went there every now and then himself and talked about it, was very frustrated. I don't want to build on that. I don't want to use that, he said. But he said, for some reason, I went to that store. You know? Well, the reason is we're sinners. And so, obviously, the wood, hay, and the stubble is at the judgment. And by the way, it's very simple how this all works. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now, again, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means it's put out in the open. Okay? And I hope that doesn't mean in front of everybody else. I don't know if it means that, but I don't think it means that. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now, here's what I think it means. It just means that the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, what's that mean? Well, you're going to find out if it's gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble. It's really not that difficult. Well, how is it made manifest? Because it's put in the fire. Now, if you put gold, silver, and precious stones in the fire, what happens when they go through the fire? They still exist, right? They're manifest. What happens when wood, hay, and stubble goes through the fire? It's gone. And so, again, there are some parts of my life that will burn up in that fire. There's some works that I've done that will burn up in the fire. There's some sinful things that I've done in my life that will burn up in that fire. I'm talking about since I got saved. And you say, Pastor, oh no, oh, we can't even imagine. Don't forget the message last Sunday morning, being holier than thou. Let's all be honest. There's not a perfect person in this house. And so it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Amen. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Okay, so some things are going to burn up. We've recognized that. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, that is the judgment seat of Christ. So all my life, everything's put in the fire. And God provides the fire. Amen? And he knows. Okay, it's not, aren't you glad it's not going to be our peers deciding? Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you sinned. Yeah, I know. I'm disappointed myself. But it goes through the fire. And then we receive reward. Amen. Now, again, you'll notice in the judgment seat of Christ, and please get that, there is no punishment. Anybody know why there's no punishment? It has to do with this. Does this give you any idea why there's no punishment? Yeah, he took the punishment. And so all my bad works burn up. But there's reward for anything that was done that was a good work. And then God gives out the rewards. Now we end up casting those crowns at the feet of Jesus. And because we recognize there's nothing we could do apart from him. And I hope you do realize that. So it is a promise that there will be reward. He said, my reward is with me. Now, we can become real pious, and we can say, well, you know, I just want all the glory to go to God, and I don't need my reward, and blah, 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 blah. Listen to me. If we're going to cast our rewards at the feet of Jesus saying thanks, it'd be kind of bad if all we have is a little piddly third place. Okay, Lord, here's how I want to honor you. This is what I did with my life. Right? Wouldn't it be something to have crowns? And to say, Lord, here's what I did with my life that you gave to me. Thank you. Thank you. Don't get all super spiritual and oh, I just don't want the praise of man. This isn't the praise of man. This is a reward based on what you do with your life. We are his workmanship. What do you suppose glorifies the builder more, the house that falls down when the wind blows or the house that stands when the wind blows? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hire the builder that built the house that stands when the wind blows. I'm not real interested in the builder of the house that blows down when the wind blows. All glory to God because of any reward that we might be able to receive, because without him, we're nothing. Anyway, let's move on. Capital B, not only do we see his promises, but we also see in this passage, we see his commands. His commands. Verse 8, I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Worship God. Amen. After all of this, here we have, you know, John even, he falls down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed him these things. Huh. And now wait a minute. You say, John? That's what the Bible says. John. And what is John? He's a human being. And what in the world is he doing? He's bowing down to worship the angel. We have a couple of angels in the decorations here. And you say, Pastor, do you think they really look? I have no idea. I always tell my wife she's an angel. And on the other side, then there's Michael. And then there's Gabriel. And I don't think Michael and Gabriel look anything like my wife. But anyway, the John bows down, you know, and whoa, John, wait a minute. Now, you know, we do tend toward worshiping things. We're that's why the songwriter wrote, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it," because we just wander away kind of easily. We're just like that, and so the angel has to make it very clear: worship God. Clear, very clear. How foolish it is for us to worship anything else, anyone else. How foolish it is for us to ever look in a mirror and worship ourselves. The biggest religion, I believe, in all the world today, it's not Christianity, it's not the Muslim religion, it is the religion of secular humanism. And it is practiced day after day after day after day after day after day in front of mirrors all over our world. And people are worshiping themselves. And how foolish it is for us to worship anything or anyone other than God Almighty. It is a foolish, foolish thing to ever worship man. Ushers, if you'll come, we'll receive an offering. I will just continue to go on. All right, so again, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Verse 10, he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, I love this. This is an amazing thing, and it ties in so well with our study in Daniel many, many years ago. I'm going to say 7 years ago? 8? How many remember the study in Daniel? All right, some do. Sharon, you were here when we studied Daniel? How long have you been here?
Since 2008.
2008, so that would have been 7 years ago. Were we doing it when you came? That's too hard, right? Okay. All right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't embarrass you like that. But anyway. Long time. Okay. It is interesting, quite a contrast here in verse 10. Seal not the sayings of prophecy. Look real quick, Daniel 12, verse 4. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And of course, when we talked about that, the whole idea, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased, talking about the last days. But then he said, seal the book. But in Revelation, he says, seal not the book. Verse 10 of Daniel 12, it says, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Again, this whole idea, we're not to seal this up, or he was to seal that up. But now, he said, the time is near. The time is close. The time is at hand. So for us to preach about the coming of Christ, for us to talk about these things, it is very appropriate because the time is at hand. I think we ought to talk about it more and more. Some people say, well, you know, he doesn't come. He just keeps putting it off. And you know, one of these days he is coming. It is going to happen. And the fact that men have tried to predict it, the fact that men have missed their prediction because no man can predict it, it's not possible, that has nothing to do with my faith. It doesn't shake my faith. He said he's coming. He's coming. He is coming. So far, everything he said has come true. Again, we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate a virgin birth he said would take place before it ever happened. It took place in Bethlehem. He said it would be in Bethlehem before it ever happened. Everything about his first coming, people probably, we know they did. They said, well, he hadn't come yet. There's no Messiah yet. I can hear him. But he came. And when he came, they missed it. It's like, we're still waiting. No, he came. And he hung on a cross and he died for our sins. Okay, he's coming again. He is coming again. And praise the Lord, he is coming again. So we will end there with that note, and we'll pick up back in this area, verse 11, on next week. Thank you so much, Father, for the Word of God and for speaking to our hearts, for teaching us. You said your Word would not return void. We know that. We believe that. And so I pray you'll make it profitable in our lives. And then bless our morning service, Father. Give us a good spirit and work in our hearts and lives. Save anyone who's lost, I pray in Jesus' name.